With Link and Cabrillo back from the Philippines, the crew of the Oregon had a chance to regroup. Yannicka Dahl was recovering nicely. Linda Ross and Mark Murphy had shipped out to Istanbul to stow away aboard the Golden Sky, a bid to intercept the virus the responsivists were set to release. His pride in his crew was undiminished, but anxiety ran high. After a time, his thoughts returned to Max Hanley. They had put out feelers to the head of the responsivist movement, Tom Severance, but had received no reply. Every minute that ticked by made Juan think there never would be, because Max was already dead. Juan wouldn't let himself say that aloud and felt guilty even thinking it, but he couldn't shake the pessimism. Dr. Huxley broke his reverie, appearing on deck with Eddie Sung and Eric Stone. She was beaming with a high wattage smile and nearly hopping from foot to foot. Eddie and Stoney were smiling too. She threw her arms around his shoulders.
Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo, you are a bloody genius!
Far be it from me to disagree, just remind me what feat of brilliance I performed this time.
Eric found an online database of cuneiform from a university in England. He was able to translate the tablets from the pictures you emailed with your phone.
Cabrillo had sent those as soon as they reached the Manila airport.
The computer was able to translate, Eric corrected modestly. I don't speak a word of ancient Sanskrit.
It's a virus after all, Julia gushed. From what I'm able to deduce, it's a form of influenza, but unlike anything science has ever seen. It has a hemorrhagic component, almost like Ebola or Marburg. And the best part is that I think Yannicka Dahl has natural immunity, because the ship where it first broke out landed near where she grew up, and I believe she's a descendant of the original crew.
Juan could barely keep up with the rapid flow of words.
What are you talking about? Ship? What ship?
Noah's Ark, of course.
Cabrillo blinked at her for a moment before reacting.
This I've got to hear.
Juan looked to Eric first, since he had done the translation.
Okay, from the top.
I won't bore you with the details of enhancing the pictures or finding an online archive of cuneiform, but I did.
The writing you found is particularly old, according to what I was able to learn. Cabrillo recalled thinking the same thing. He motioned for Stone to continue.
I turned the problem over to the computer. It took about 5 hours of tweaking the programs to start producing anything coherent. The algorithms were pretty intense, and I was bending the rules of fuzzy logic to the breaking point. Once the computer started to learn the nuances, it got a little easier, and after passing it through a few times, adjusting here and there, it spat out the entire story.
The story of Noah's Ark?
You may not know this, but the epic story of Gilgamesh, which was translated from cuneiform by an English amateur in the 19th century, chronicles a flood scenario 1,000 years before it appeared in Hebrew texts. Many cultures around the globe also have flood myths as part of their ancient traditions. Anthropologists believe that because human civilization sprang up in coastal areas or along rivers, the very real threat of catastrophic flooding was used by kings and priests in cautionary tales to keep people in line.
Eric adjusted his steel-framed glasses.
The story starts out with a flood, but not a sudden swell of water or a heavy rain. The people who wrote the tablets describe how the water of the sea they lived by rose. I believe it rose about a foot a day. While nearby villages simply moved to higher ground, our folks believed the rising would never stop and decided the only way to survive was to build a large boat. It was in no way as large as the boat described in the Bible. They didn't have that kind of technology.
So we aren't really talking about Noah and his ark?
No, although the parallels are striking, and it is possible that the people who remained behind and described what happened laid the foundation for Gilgamesh and the biblical story.
Is there a time frame for this?
5500 BC.
That seems pretty precise.
That's because there is physical evidence of a flood just as it's described on the tablets. It occurred when the earthen dike at what is now the Bosporus collapsed and flooded what had been, up until that time, an inland sea that was some 500 feet lower than the Mediterranean. We now call this area the Black Sea. Using underwater ROVs, marine archaeologists have confirmed that there were humans living along the ancient shoreline. It took more than a year for the basin to fill, and they estimate the falls at the Bosporus would make Niagara look like a babbling brook. Cabrillo was amazed.
I had no idea.